Well, hello, everyone. Can you hear me? I'm never sure if this mic or that mic's going to work. Which one are we doing? This one? Both of them. I hope it's not as loud as at the beginning. It scared me to death. At any rate, I'm, as the musician said at the beginning, Father Tom Boyer. My sister and her husband live in this parish, and occasionally I come up to visit, and Father Brad always welcomes me at this table with you. I retired from the Diocese of Oklahoma City about 3 years ago. I gave up tornadoes for hurricanes and moved to Florida. I live in Naples now, a town almost wiped out by the Hurricane Irma. Naples is an interesting place. The average age there is deceased. And when I get to come back here and see young people, it's kind of refreshing. It's easy with this gospel to be distracted by the sensational events that Mark tells us in these verses. I mean, shouting demons, a man in convulsions in the middle of a synagogue is all it takes to get us off track with what's going on here. If that happened in this church, I guarantee you that this homily would be the last thing you remember about Mass today. The whole context between Jesus and evil spirits is just a preview of a theme that's going to continue throughout all of Mark's gospel. What really matters is what is happening between Jesus and the others who are present. I'll bet you didn't notice, so I'll tell you, that Mark tells us that the people were spellbound by the authority of Jesus before the conflict with the unclean spirit. That contest with the unclean spirit is not what really impressed them. That's not what amazed them. What did amaze them was a completely new teaching in a spirit of authority. Strikes me that we don't have much of that these days. We have a lot of words from public figures, but there is a depressing predictability about what they're going to say. There is not a lot of real authority, and the consequence is a lot of skepticism. Many of those doing the talking lack credibility for several reasons. They don't even believe what they are saying themselves. I always suspect that when someone keeps repeating what they say, they're really trying to convince themselves that it's the truth. Then the character of the speaker matters. A flawed character does not start out with much credibility. There's an old saying that I've heard many, many times, and it's kind of wise, and I've learned to believe it. How do you know when an addict is lying? Their lips are moving. So finally, when a speaker does not live according to their own words, there's no chance that anyone's going to believe what they say. What we hear in the gospel is that the teaching of Jesus was refreshingly different from the official teachers of that day. No scribe ever expressed an opinion of his own. The scribes always began by quoting some other authority other than themselves. Jesus does not do that. He spoke with his own voice, needing no other authority. It came from the fact that he spoke the truth. Some teachers just provide facts. Others provide vision, inspiration, and meaning, and that's the difference that Jesus provides. He gives us vision and inspiration and meaning. The authority of Jesus came from his character because he backed up his words with deeds. Mark never says it this way, but his presentation of Jesus suggests that Jesus himself was the sermon. We didn't really need the words. Just watch what he does. Even though Mark puts the question in the mouth of the one possessed, we might consider asking that question ourselves. What do you want of us, Jesus of Nazareth? Last week, the scriptures reminded us that we've all been called by Jesus to come and see. He didn't say, come and listen. It seems that we ought to ask why. What does Jesus of Nazareth want of us? Simply being amazed cannot possibly be what he asks. There is more expected of a people chosen by God. Our witness to what we've seen and to what we believe must have credibility that comes from really believing, that comes from an upright character, and that comes from speaking the truth. When we cultivate this kind of credibility, our lives will provide for others a vision of the kingdom of God, the inspiration to make it real, and give our lives and our church some real, concrete meaning that's revealed through our actions and our deeds of service and love.